So we're on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and let's count down from the top of the Amud. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So we're up to Tanur Rabbanan after the two dots, which is 11 lines down on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Ketzad ma'abrin es ha'orin. So the Gemara had quoted way back when a brisa before we got out off onto this long agadita about Talmud Torah and how to achieve in Torah learning, and that brisa addressed the question of how to measure the boundaries of the city, the outer boundaries of the city, because from the outer boundary of the city, you count 2,000 amma of what's called the Tchum Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzad Ma'abrim Es Ha'orim. In what situations will the halacha allow you to expand the boundaries of the city? Such that, let's say you have a house in the middle of the city, and you're going to count 2,000 amma beyond the outer bounds of the city. So you're now walking to the outer bounds of the city, where you'll have 2,000 amma. What is considered the outer bounds of the city? And the Bryce allows you ma'aber es ha'arim, that the city could expand. It becomes pregnant, so to speak. So we're going to add to the scope or the circumference of the city. Now, if it's a case of Aruka, of a city that's longer than wide, so it's got a rectangular shape, is Kemosh Shehi, which means that we don't add anything to the city. But if it's Agula, if it's a round city, then we're going to expand the city. And that's called Osim Lo Zavios. So if you take a look, there's, you know, Rashi has a bunch of drawings here, and the top drawing has a round circle with the word ear in it. Around the circle is a box, and that's called Osim Lo Zavios. In other words, we're making a square out of a circle, and by doing so, we add those corners, which are called zavios. So, for example, imagine if you lived on the, let's call it, the northwestern side of the city. Within that circle, we would give you that zavis, that extra corner, and you'd walk to the end of the zavis, and that would be the outer boundary of the city from which you would count another 2,000 amma beyond that. But merubas, if it's a square city, so that the length and the width of the city are equal, ein osin lo zavios. Then we don't add corners because it's a square. I mean, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean you don't add? How could you add corners to a square? A square already has corners. So what does it mean? Ein osim lo zavios. You see, at least in the case at the beginning of this brisa, where you had a rectangle, so you had a length that started getting more narrow, and it got, in its width, it was less wide. In other words, the width was not equal to the length. So in that case, you could have made it into a square. And then you would expand the width so that it equals the length. But in the case of a square, what's the Havamina here that you would add, you know, an outer line, so to speak, to make corners when it's a square? A square has corners, right? Now we go on. Haisa, if the city was Rechava mitzad echad, uktsara mitzad acher. Like, for example, let's say the city on the northern side was 2,000 amos, and on the southern side it was only, let's say, 1,000 amma. Now that's the second diagram in Rashi. So in such a case, ro'en osa ke'ilu hishava b'shnei atzdadin. You'll see Rashi, in his diagram, he gives you those broken up lines. The northern flank of the city is much more extended than the southern flank. And what we're going to do is we're going to equalize the two. And on the west and on the east, we're going to make those corners. And again, that means that, let's say someone was living on the north, let's say, eastern side. Right? So he's really on the end of the city. You know, on that eastern side, he's out on the boundary of the city, but yet we're going to give him an extension until the point where the east meets the north, and that whole corner, which we'll call the northeastern corner, will now be considered part of the city, even though there are no buildings there. So that's called Ma'abrim Es Ha'ir. Now we have another case of Ma'abrim Es Ha'ir. Haisa bayis echad yotze kemin pigum. So you have a house that is beyond the boundaries of the city. So let's say, for example, imagine you have a rectangular city. You get to, let's say, the northern section, which has an entire row going from east to west, from right to left. And then there's one house that, so to speak, protrudes beyond that line. And that's called Kamin Pigum. Because, again, if you were in the city, inside the city, and you looked at that house, it sort of juts out. So that's called Kamin Pigum. And what we're going to do is, now the Gemara adds, O shnei batim yotzim kemin shnei pigumim. Well, let's say you have on the northern side, on the right, you have one house, and on the left, let's call it we said there was the south and there was the north. So you have on the south, you have a house that protrudes, and you have on the northern side a house that protrudes. Roen osan ki iluchut masuach alehem. Umodeid mimenu ulahalon alpayim ama. So we imagine as if there was an imaginary chut, which is like a rope, a straight rope, that was stretched from one house to the other house, to the ends of the house. And that gives you all that extra additional space expanding the city to the outer boundaries of these two homes. The truth is, the Gemara has a very strange language here. It says kimin. It starts with bayis echad, and then it has shnei batim. I mean, if one bayis is enough to expand that line, let's say, you know, across the east, then how much more so if there were two houses? I don't know. I'm not sure if this is. Yeah, this is still part of the brisa. Why did the brisa feel compelled to add two houses? I mean, if one house expands the city, then how much more so two houses will expand the city? Okay, so now we have the third diagram of Rashi. And Rashi's third diagram has the city as a square. But once again, with the east on top, of this diagram, the west on the bottom, the south to the right, and the north to the left. And then you'll see he has pigum on top, which means a house or more than one house that juts out beyond the city. And so he has an imaginary line that expands the city all the way out to include those houses that are outside the city limits. So he's going to be able to count 2,000 amah of Tchum Shabbos beyond the furthest city. And that's the chut that we see, which we don't really see a chut, but we see an imaginary broken line in the diagram. That's the chut, which is Masuach Aleh. And he counts from there on 2,000 amah. So this whole institution of Ma'avrin es Ha'ir is something that that is what we call lakula. It's a leniency in that it gives you a greater tchum, a much more expanded tchum by expanding the city. Next case in the Braisa, Haisa Asuya Kimin Keshes. So that's the fourth diagram. Right, it's like a bow, which means that there's an empty space in the middle, and there are homes in a semicircle surrounding that empty space. O kimin gam. Gam is a gimel in Greek, in the Greek language. It's a Greek letter. And again, that's Rashi's number 1, 2, 3, 4, Rashi's fifth diagram on the page, where he's got like a chaf sofit. It's a, it's like a gimel, but inverted in the other direction. So you have, you know, the part of the city on top that goes from south to north, and then on the side, you have the southern flank of the city, and that's Kamin Gam. And most of the city is empty, it's panui. You know, there are no homes there. But again, Rashi has this chevel, which is that imaginary chut that we spoke about, this imaginary rope. And it takes both the flank on the top down, and also creates a lower line on the bottom, making it into a kind of a square. It's not actually a square, because kibin gam means that the leg is longer than the top. That's why we call it like a half of chaf sofit with a longer leg. But in any event, we are creating like a 90 degree angle by stretching this imaginary rope. And Rohan Osa ki ilu hi malea batim vechatzeros. And we imagine as if this resh, or half chaf sofit, the inverted gimel of the Greeks, is completely filled with homes and with courtyards. So we fill up that empty space inside the keshet, or the ga'am, right? Keshet in the case of the semicircle, like that rainbow, and the gam in the case of the chaf. U'modei bimeno lahalon alpayim ama. So you can calculate that. Now imagine in the case, let's take the case of gam, if you had a house on the northeastern corner, and you were to walk on like a diagonal outside the city, I mean, almost immediately after you step out of your house, you're outside the city. But the answer is not by far, because after we do this Ibur, you're going to have an entire imaginary city, so to speak, to walk to until you get to the outer bounds of the city. Or take, for example, in the case of the Keshet, as we mentioned before, if let's say the Keshet is a semicircle, if your house is on the top of the semicircle, As soon as you, you know, if you're, let's say, the front of that line of houses, as soon as you step out of your house, you've already left the city limits. There are no houses in front of you. But yet we're going to imagine as if this entire semicircle is filled in, and that's going to give you a much longer area to walk through until you finally get to the outer bounds of the city. Okay, so that seems to be the end of the Braisa. Now the Gemara tries to analyze the Braisa. Omar Mar, the Braisa had stated Aruka Kemos Shehi. So let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa. And the Braisa says that if the city is a rectangular shape, which means that the length of the city is the line going, let's say up and down, if you want to call it, you know, from east to west, is a lot longer than the horizontal, you know, going from south to north. We leave it as is, and we don't add to the city at all. So Gemara says pshita. Why would we have a havamina that we should make it into a square? In effect, by making it into a square, what you're really doing is you're going to have to lower or shorten the length. If the length is greater than the width and you want to make them equal, then instead of adding to the city and expanding it, you're going to reduce the city, because you're going to cut down the leg that's too long, the orech, what we call the length, in order to make sure that it equals to the rocha. So that would be impossible. So what does the Braisa mean when it's telling you Arucha Kabo Shehi? Is the Braisa coming to teach me that Ein Makatrin Es Arucha, we don't shorten the length so that it be equal to the width, in order to make it into a square? So the Gemara says that's Pasha. And the whole subject of this Braisa is not to reduce the size of the city, but rather to expand it. Oh, so the Gemara answers, what was the Havamina lo tzricha? We need it for a case of an ear, de aricha uktina. It is long and narrow. Aricha uktina. Now, what are you telling me here by telling me Arichu Ketina? I mean, that's exactly what we described. Arucha means it's longer, and in terms of the width, it's narrow. In other words, the Rochav is less than the Orech. But I think that the main thrust of what the Gemara is saying is coming around the bend here, in the next line. Mao the same, I would have thought, Litein La Pusya aorcha. We would think that maybe we should expand the width so that the width equal to the length, and that's how we'll make it into a square. We already saw a precedent in the case of a circular city that we made it into a square in order to expand it and add the zavios, add the corners. So we might think that if the length of the city is greater than its width, then we would fill in all those empty spaces in the width so that the width be equal to the length, and then we squared off this rectangle. Now, to the best of my knowledge, Rashi does not give us a diagram of this, but I have in my Gemara, the Masifta, I have a diagram here. It's on the bottom right. And basically what you see in this diagram is you have a city which has a long flank that goes down, and then it has a short width on the bottom, kind of like a backwards L. And then he fills in that entire area to make it into a square, which is to the left of the length of the section that goes up and down. So that was the Hava Mina Kamashma Lan. The Brisa says, no, the din is not like that. We leave it as is. It already has corners to it. So it's not like the case of the round city, which doesn't have any corners. Then we go on to the next part of the Brisa. Merubas Enosim La Zavios. If it's a square city, the length and the width are equal, we don't add corners to it. Pshita. How can you add corners to a square? It's already got its four corners. Lo tzricha, what do we need the brisa for? For the case of the miraba velo miraba, it's square, but it's not exactly square. What's not square about it? Biribua olam. It's not square by comparison to the world. In other words, the world itself has four directions, right? It has a north, south, east, and west. This particular city is tilted on its side. I would almost call it a diamond. So, for example, again, in the diagram that I have, there's a square, and the top of the square says on it, Tzafon HaOlam, that's the north of the world. The right side says Mizrach HaOlam, the bottom says Darom HaOlam, and the left says Marav HaOlam. But the city itself, inside the square, is on an angle, it's tilted. And therefore you have Zavios, you have four corners. And if you were to fill in those four corners, you would significantly expand the city. Ismael de Tema, I might think, Li Rabba the Ribua Olam, we should add these corners to the square city in order to equal the square to the directions of the world. Kamash Malon, the Bryce wants to teach us that we don't do such a thing. It's already a square city. And therefore, we don't have to add corners to it because it already has four corners. Even though, again, those four corners do not parallel the directions of north, east, west, and south of the world, but that's irrelevant. But at least we justify why the Bryce had to tell me this, because it was a strong Havamina to say that we should add squares. And you'd have a square that's tilted inside another square, where the points of the inner square of the city hit the various lines of the outer square, which represents the Ribua HaOlam. Now the Braisa continues and says, Hoysa Bayis Echad Yotze Kimin Pigum O Shnei Batim Yotzim Kimin Pigum. So you have a house or two houses that are situated beyond the row of the city, the top row, let's say, and they jut out. Then we imagine a rope that was stretched across these two cities, and that gives you an expansion of the city. So the Gemara now understands that the Rice is talking about two, in the case of two houses, that these two houses are both on the same side of the city. Let's say they're on the north of the city. So you have the north of the city on one extreme, we'll call it the eastern side of the north, right? That's the northeast. And then on the western side of the north, you have another city. So you've already drawn that line because there was one of those two houses. What changes when you have two houses on each side, on each corner? If it's on the same line. Hashta Bais Echad Amrit. You've already told me that in the case of one house, we imagine this expansionary line. And Shnei Matim Iboy, you have to tell me that if there are two houses that we imagine this line. Lo Tzricha Mishtei Ruchos. I need this Brisa to tell me that I can apply this expansionary rule even to two houses that are on two sides of the city. Like, let's say, for example, you have one house that goes out of the north and another house that goes out of the south. And now we're expanding the city on both ends, on the north and on the south. Yismael detem, I might think, meruach achas amrinon. When do we apply this principle that we are ma'aber the ear and we see this chut matuach? That's only on one ruach, on one side of the city. But mishtei ruchos, to expand it both on the north and the south, or on the east and the west, that we don't do lo amrinon. Kamash malon, so the Braisa wants to teach me, no, that we will expand the city on both sides if there's a pigum on one side and a pigum on the other side. And in theory, what it means is you can expand the city on all four sides if there's an extra house on each one of the four sides. And again, the rule is going to be that after we draw this imaginary line, because of the pigum, the extra house that juts out, we're going to start counting 2,000 amas from the end of that house. Now, I'm trying to figure out what would be if you had on the same side, you had two houses. It seems to me, I don't know if I'm wrong here, that you could expand the pigum based on the second house or the third house. I don't know. Now, in the discussion that we had before, that there was a hava mina that in the case of the tilted city that looks like a diamond, we would add a square. So the footnote here quotes the Ravid, Shekein hu adin af be'ir hasuya bechatzi igul kekeshes. If you have that semicircle, like the bow, then we square off the round part, the circular part of the city. The afim omdim balakson, even if it's on a diagonal, ein meravim osam v'ribui olam. In other words, once we have added to the city by drawing a line from one of the extreme ends of the semicircle to the other extreme end of the semicircle, right, creating that bow, then we're not going to, according to the Ravid at least, we're not going to additionally expand the city below that semicircle. In other words, we're going to fill in all the houses that are in the empty space inside this bow, but we're not going to add corners to the outside of the city. Do you follow what I mean? There's the inside of the city, which is the empty space inside the bow, and then there'd be the outside of the city on the two zavios, because the city is in a semicircle. So we make a square, or a half a square, if you know what I mean, on the semicircle, but we're not going to do that, if I understand correctly. Because what we're doing is we're going to stretch this rope across the two ends of the city, and that's it. We're not going to additionally square off the circle. Let me read it to you once again. He says, "Be'ir hasuya b'chatzi igul kekeshes, merabin osa sviv ha'igul, afim obedes balaksanyon." Balakson ein merabin osa biribua olam. I see. He's asking, what if the half of the semicircle is tilted? Can we add zavios by squaring it off to equal the directions of the world? So he's willing to add zavios, but that's only to square off those two ends. But he's not willing to tilt it and add ends, you know, to fill in the areas of the world, you know, the directions of the world. Next, Haisa Asuya Kimin Keshes O Kimin Gam Romo Sakilhi Malaya Batim Khatser Sumodid Umode Mimena Ulahalon Ar Alpaim Am Omar Afuna Ir Hasuya Kikeshes. If you have this city that's structured, that's built like a semicircle, Im Yesh Bein Shnei Rasheha Pachos Me'ar Bas Alofim Amo Modin Lo Min Ayesem Im Lav Modin Lo Min HaKeshes. Okay, so the first half of what Rav Huna says, I understand. The second half is a little bit more complicated. The first half, he says, is that this halacha that we set up an imaginary line linking or connecting the two ends of the semicircle on top, that only applies if the distance between the top of the semicircle on one side and the top on the other side, like let's say between the northern side and the southern side, is less than 4,000 amah. Meaning, it's not going to work if it's a 4,000 amma distance between the two ends of the bow. If it's less than 4,000 amma, so again, we have here a diagram. I'm just going to try to explain the diagram. So he has two arrows between the houses that are somewhere. Oh, I see. I was looking at the wrong diagram. In the diagram all the way to the right on the bottom, he's got two houses on two ends of the top of this semicircle, and he has two arrows which overlap with each other. Each arrow measures 2,000 amma. So if you go from 2,000 amma, let's say from your top, the northeast, right? The northeastern corner. If you count 2,000 amma from the northeast to 2,000 amma to the northwest, 2,000 amma from the northeast to the middle line, where the middle house is on the bottom of the keshet. So you've got one line going that way, and then he has another line going this way from north to south, and the two lines overlap. And that signifies that the distance, because each line measures 2,000 amma, and since the two lines overlap, it means that the distance from the ends of the city is less than 4,000 amma. And he uses the word yeser, and the yeser is the rope of the bow, right? If you were an archer, right? So you have the round part of the bow, and then you have the string that goes up from top to bottom. That string is called, in modern Hebrew, we call it chevel hakeshes, but in Talmudic Hebrew, it's called a yeser. And those are synonymous terms. So the word yeser equals chevel hakeshes. So that's going to be the line that links together the two most extreme top houses of the city from one side to the other. Oh, now what happens if there's more than 4,000 amma distance between these two extreme houses in the city? Then he says, Modin la min hakeshes. Which means that we're going to calculate 2,000 amma from each house in the keshes. And basically, if I understand correctly, we're completely neutralizing the halacha of Ma'avrim here. So wherever you live in this keshes, you're going to count 2,000 amma from your house till you're outside the city limits. And from 2,000 amma on, you're already chutz l'tchum. He writes, Modedim l'chol echad min adorim v'keshes tchum alpayim ama mibeso. So let's emphasize the word mibeso, and that's what Rashi says over here. Now, if you look in Rabbeinu Chananel, he has a language, ki yoshvei sados heim chashuvim. Like, let's say you accept Shabbos and you're out in the fields. So you don't have a boundary of a city to walk to so that you can calculate a 2,000 amah distance beyond the bounds of the city. You're going to count 2,000 amah from the threshold of your, whatever it is, a house or a tent or a hut that's in the fields. It's not in the city at all. And Rabbeinu Chananel is using that as his paradigm, as his illustration of someone who's already on the borderline of the outer boundary of the city, and he counts just simply 2,000 amah from the doorstep of his house. Now, there's a Tosfos, apparently later on, which we didn't get to yet, that says that you don't count 2,000 amah from the keshes itself, but rather, mimokom shemiskatzeres hakeshes, v'ein bo rasheh ben rasheh arbas alofen. Ah, this I understand. In other words, you've got this semicircle. So if you go to the two tops of the semicircle, there's going to be 5,000 amah in between each of the tops of the semicircle. But as you move down the semicircle, right, as you get closer and closer to the bottom, it narrows down. And as it narrows, you get to one point where it's 3,999 amas between one house on this side and the other house on the other side. Bingo! You know, that's where you've already dipped below the 4,000 amma, you know, cutoff point, and you have now 3,999 amma. So from there, you will count 2,000 amma, meaning that's going to be the end of your city. So what Tosis wants to point out is, and it could be Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel would not agree, because they seem to assume that if there's a 4,000 amma distance between the two ends of the keshet, then you simply walk out of your house and you start counting your 2,000 amma, and that's all you will give you, unless you made an Erev Truman. Whereas Tosis is saying that's not necessarily true. If, let's say, you live on the top half of the keshet on either side, then enochinami, you know, your distance from one side to the other is 4,000 plus amma. You're going to count 2,000 amma starting from the you know, miftana bias, you know, from the exit of your house. But if on the other end you live towards the bottom of this keshet, and if I would draw that imaginary line, it would be less than 4,000 amma. So the person who's all the way on the bottom, he could go up to that line, and that's going to be the outer boundary line of the city, and then he can count 2,000 amma from there. So he gets that extra landfill, you know, or housefill. You know, imagine filling it in with houses. That's what Tosfos says. Now, in the note here, he quotes a Rashba, and he says, Dino Sharav Huna Noig Af Be'ir Hasuya Kimin Gam. You remember that the Brisa had two cases in one breath. That was Kamin Keshes, and the other was Kamin Gam. But Rav Huna is analyzing, at least explicitly, head-on, the case of Medidas Ir Shel Keshes. He doesn't say anything about the Gam. So the Rashba says the same principles that Rav Huna has set down here in the case of a Keshes apply in the case of a Gam. Which means that you have this, the city that has a, you know, going up from, we called it from north to south on the top, we have a relatively shorter line than we have going from, you know, the east all the way down to the west. Again, I'm using Rashi's, you know, diagrams here. So in that case, what we did was we filled in with an imaginary line, actually two imaginary lines, one coming down from the top and the other going horizontally from one side to the other, then we're going to have to insist that if there's a distance, so we're going to imagine a diagonal line going from, let's say, the top left all the way down to the bottom right. If that diagonal line is more than 4,000 amma, then we're not going to apply the din of ma'avrin es ha'ir, as if to say that the city in that square is completely filled with houses. Why? Because, as I said before, the diagonal creates a distance from the top to the diagonal bottom of more than 4,000 amma. And then he writes, Ir shasuya ki keshes, sheyesh bein rosha arbas alofim amo, af she'ein mitztarfen lo es halal apnimi laduno ki ilu molei batim v'chatzers, mikomako merabin osa mibachutz. Ah. And the other chiddush of the Rashba is that even in the case where Avuna describes a distance between the two ends of the keshet that's more than 4,000 amma, he's not, in this case, completely excluding ribua, because what we want to do is, on the lower side of the swing, you know, the bottom of the bowl, the semicircle, we're going to create two zavios, and we're going to create a square and add those two corners, and that's also ma'abrim es ha'ir. We're not going to fill in the houses inside the basin, so to speak, because from one side to the other is more than 4,000 amma, but we still have the halacha of an ir agula. In this case, it's a half a circle, not a full circle, which mirabin we make into a square, and in that sense, we will expand the city, and we will add corners to the city. Now the Gemara finds a contradiction to Rav Huna from a different statement of Rav Huna. Umi Omar Rav Huna Hachi. Did Rav Huna actually make this statement that if between the two ends of the keshes we can draw this imaginary line and fill in with houses if the distance is less than 4,000 amma? Va'omar Rav Huna, we have another statement of Rav Huna, Chomas ha'ir shenifritza b'meo v'arboim v'achas u'shlish. What happens in a case where you have a wall that surrounds the city and it was breached, and what happens is that many of the houses in the middle of the city are in ruins. That's called Charva Batel Bemtza'a. So not only did they break through and breach the walls of the city, but they destroyed a number of the houses in the city. And at this point, what you see is basically like two cities. You know, in the case of, let's say, Budapest, there's a river, you know, in between the two halves of Budapest. So it's really two cities, Buda and Pest. But he's talking about Budapest, which are separated one from the other, because there are only ruins in the middle between the two halves of the city. So you really have three sections of the city, right? You have one section on one side, one section on the other, and in between there's like a gray area, which used to be houses, but it's no longer houses. And Rav Huna says the following, that if this breakage between the two sides of the city is up to, but not beyond, 141 amos and a third, we'll have to try to figure out where he gets that number from, then we see it as one city. But if the breakage, the pirtza, between one half of the city and the other is 141 and a third amos, then we view it as two different cities. We split the city into half. And if you're walking out of one half of the city to the second half of the city, and now you go to the end, the boundary, the outer boundary of the second half of the city, you cannot count 2,000 amma to set up your Tchum Shabbos from the outer bounds of the second half of the city, because since the separation between the two cities was more than 141 and a third ammas, therefore we view them as two different cities. So basically, you're going to get to the outer house of that half of the city, which is now a city unto itself, and you're going to calculate 2,000 amma from there to get to the outer Tchum of Shabbos. That's the case where the Rochav HaPirtza is more than 141 and a third amos, and that breaks the city up into two parts. And if you're going out of the city from one side, one half of the city to the other half of the city, as soon as you leave your side of the city and you get into this Pirtza, you're into this section which is open, there are no houses built there, you start already calculating 2,000 amma. So we see from this statement of Rav Huna that if the two halves of the city are separated by 141 and a third amos, then you cannot integrate the two into one city. But in our sugya, Ketzad Ma'abrin, Rav Huna said that if you have a city that looks like a half a circle, and there's a distance between the two ends of this bow that's less than 4,000 amma, then we can consider it as all as one city. So what's it going to be? Is it 141 and a third, or is it 4,000? Meaning, our Rav Huna in our sugya is committed to allow you a separation from one end of the city to the other, an empty space of up to 4,000 amma. So you have 3,999. And you can consider it all as one landfill, as one city, one continuous city. But yet, in the case of Irsha Nifritza, Rav Huna therefore established that the separation between one half of the city and the other could be up to, but not equal to, 141 and a third amas. What happened to the 4,000 amma that he allowed you in the case of the Yershal Keshet? Omar Rabba Bar Ula Lo Kasha. This is not a contradiction between two statements of Rav Huna, because each statement is addressing a whole different case. Khan, in our sugya with regard to an ir asuya kikeshes, we're talking about an ir be'ir shemiruach achas. In other words, there's no division in the city. The city is not broken up into parts. It's a continuous city. Everything is mechubar. The city, again, it's on a semicircle shape, but still there's continuous houses without any breakage. The only thing is that on the top ends, there's a separation. And if that separation is less on the top of the keshet on both sides than 4,000 amma, then we imagine that the entire city is filled in. But Khan, this second statement that we quoted Rav Huna, in the case of Chol Ma'aseh Yirsha Nifritza, that means Nifritza means Mishtei Ruchos. There's a total separation. The city is literally split into two without any connection between them. So when he leaves one part of the city, he's out of the city limits. Unless the other part of the city is very close and it's within 141 and a third. So the Gemara says, Umayka Mashmalon, when Rav Huna is telling me that if the Pirtza between the two halves of the city is 141 and a third amas or more, and he's meaning to tell us that we see here two different cities that are close to each other, is what's the Chiddush of Rav Huna? After all, Nosnim Karpaf Lizu, the Karpaf Lizu. So we have a halacha called karpaf, which means that outside the city limits, we allow for an empty space, which is called a migrash, an empty space that's not, you know, it's not built, of 70 amos and two-thirds of an amma. 70 and two-thirds of an amma. That's a little bit less than 71 amos. That's called a karpaf, which is the expansion of the city. Now, let's say you have two cities next to each other. Then we're going to allow for a karpaf, again, 70, almost 71 amos for this city on your right, and another karpaf for the city on the left. And that would mean if you multiply 72 and two-thirds amma by 2, then you end up with 141 and a third, right? Because we have 70 and two-thirds together with another 70 and two-thirds. So the two-thirds and two-thirds make four-thirds, which is one and a third. So you have 70 plus one and a third, 71 and a third. And basically, as soon as you get to that number, 71 and a third, then you have more than a karpaf times two, meaning each city gets a karpaf extension. And therefore, Mamela, they can no longer be counted as two cities. You know, in my mind, this is very maybe perverse, but I imagine two fat people standing next to each other, you know, in a way that their bellies are connected. You know, so each belly represents the karpaf for the expansion of the city. And if both cities have a karpaf and the two karpafs meet, then it's all one city. And if each karpaf is 70 and two, right, and two-thirds of an amma, then once I get to the number 141 and a third, I already have more than two karpafs. I can no longer connect the city. So basically, Amra Rav Huna Chada Zimna, what Rav Huna is telling you here, in our case of an ear, he's basically reiterating what he's already told us about the two karpafs, and you know, contiguous cities that have each one has a karpaf that gives you that expansion and connects the two cities. Disnan, we learned in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah later on in Daf Nun Zayin. Here we're turning to Nun Hey and Vivez. Is Nosim Karpaf Le'ir, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that every single city, we begin to calculate the outer tchum of the city for 2,000 amma from the end of the Karpaf. So we already allow on the outskirts of each city an empty space of 70 and two-thirds of an amma outside the city. And that's all considered part of the city. And from there and on, at the end of the 70 and two-thirds amma, that's where we're going to start calculating the 2,000 amma of Chutz L'Ir. V'chachomim omrim, lo omru karpaf el bein shtei ayoros. That this halacha of expanding the city a karpaf's worth of 70 and two-thirds amma only applies in a case of two contiguous cities that are next to each other, and we can calculate the beginning of the Sofat Chum, meaning the 2,000 amma from the end of the city, if you have two cities, and each one is allowed that extra fat belly of a karpaf. One second. According to the Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, we're only going to allow you to connect or integrate the two cities if there's a karpaf between the two cities. Whereas Rabbi Meir is giving each city its own karpaf, so that if there's an overlap of the two karpavs of each city, one coming from this direction, one from that, then we can integrate the two cities. The Chachamim say, no, the both cities, in order to integrate them, have to have no more than a distance of a karpav between them. That's the way I understand it. Let me just read. He says, Ein noslim shefa shetach nosaf le'ir yechidis, elo maschilim limnos alpayim am misofa ir mamish, rak bofen shei shtei ayoros asmucha zu lezu, noslim lem karpav beinayim, kidei lechavrum ayodam. Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. That we max it out with one karpav according to the Chachamim, whereas Rabbi Meir is allowing each city to have its own karpav. Well, the truth is, Ira, the everything that we're learning today about Ma'avrim Es Ha'ir, you know, an imaginary expansion of the city, means that what we think is 2,000 Ava, you know, in today's contemporary urban life, you know, it's hard to begin to figure out where is the outer boundary of the city. And maybe the municipality has this registered, you know, in a legal way. Like in Jersey, I once was told by one of my Talmidim, he points out a house and he says to me, this house is half in Teaneck and half in Bergenfield. But as a general rule, you know, back in the day they had smaller towns. They weren't so urbanized and so large and so forth. And you could really know where the outer boundary of the town is. But now we're expanding the outer boundary, either because of a circle that we're making into a square and we're adding the corners, or we're expanding the city by making, you know, a half a square, like a gam, into a full square, filling in the keshet with a chevel, you know, with an imaginary rope, but now we're talking about a karpav. I mean, these are all different ways in which we expand the city. Now, this din of karpav, I told you the word karpav is identical with what we call a migrash. So if I'm not mistaken, that halacha is derived from the Torah itself, because the Orei HaLevim were given a migrash around them of uncultivated land, and that was a strip of land. I'm not sure. I mean, again, that's sugyas that I didn't learn, but anyway, where did Rav Huna make this statement that makes it unnecessary for him to tell me that in the case of the Keshet, there shouldn't be 141 and a third Amos between them? So that's going to be the next line in the Gemara, and that's why the Gemara is asking Maiko Mashmalon Ha'omra Rav Huna Chada Zimna. One second. Oh, V'itmar Rav Huna Omar Karpaf Lezu V'Karpaf Lezu. So we're going to allow for this migrash, that's an empty area, a plot of land that's not cultivated or built, and it has 70 Amma and 2 Shlish on each side, meaning on each one of the two cities, which means that the distance between the outer boundary of each of the city is less than 141 and a third Amos. And under those circumstances, we can join and integrate the two cities to make it into one city. And Rav Huna has a Bar Plugta, and the dissenting opinion is none other than Rav Chia, Chia Bar Rav, Omar, Ein Nosel Karpaf Echad L'Shtehen. In other words, the open area between the two cities has to be up to, but not greater than, 70 and two-thirds Amma for both cities. He's not going to give you a karpav on each side. So that if you already have a distance between the ends of both of these two cities that is 70 and two-thirds Amma, then you cannot link up the two cities. Let's assume it's more than more than 70 and two-thirds Amma. But what comes after Rav Huna has already told us in a different context this same din of 141 and a third. Now, I don't know how to read the next line here. He says, L'shitas Chachamim. Oh, I see. What I gave you before in the Chachamim was actually Chiyuv HaRav. Because Chiyuv HaRav is only going to allow for a total of one karpaf between the two cities. And that's how I understood the Chachamim. Because it says, Lo amru din karpaf elo ben shtei ayoros. I thought karpaf means one karpaf. Rav Huna made his comment on the Chachamim. And the Chachamim, they're not going to allow for a Migrash for every single city. They're only going to allow this Karpaf / Migrash when you have two cities and you want to know if they're close enough to connect them. But Rav Huna understands that when you're calculating the distance between the two cities, you allow for a Karpaf for each one of the two cities. So in the case of Chomas HaIr SheNifritzah, why was it necessary for Rav Huna to tell me that if the two halves of the city have a distance of 141 and a third Amos, that you cannot integrate the two halves of the city? He's already told me this halacha in the case of calculating the Tchum when you have two cities that are close to each other. So Gemara answers Tricha. Rav Huna had to tell me his din in both cases, both in two cities, and also in one city that was split into two. Diashmin in Hacha, if we only had the Chiddush of Rav Huna here, in the case of Mechitza Sa'ir Shin Nifritza, we would have thought Mishum Dahavi Late Tzad Hetame Kara. Originally, these two cities were really one continuous city. Now, because of the Pirtza, I don't know, maybe the city was attacked by either natural occurrences, you know, there's some sort of a flood, or maybe it was attacked by the adversaries. I don't know, it doesn't specify. But now, all of a sudden, the city is split. Here we could be Mekil, and Rav Huna will allow you to integrate the two parts of the city if the distance between them is not more than 141 and a third, which means we're basically maintaining the original status of these two halves of one city. Aval Hasam. But there you had two different cities that were never connected one to the other. And then all of a sudden we started expanding, you know, more people moved in and they built new areas and so forth and so on. And now, as a result of the new facts on the ground and the expansion of these two cities, they became very close to each other. And now we want to create one city. Emel lo. Perhaps we would think, if we didn't have the second statement of Rav Huna, that in order to create one city out of two cities, you have to make sure they're very close to each other, one karpaf, which means 70 amma plus two-thirds of an amma. If there's a distance between the two cities of more than 70 and two-thirds of an amma, then we cannot make it into one city. The Yeshmin and Hasam, and if Rav Huna had told me his din in the case of two ayaros that were never one city, from the get-go they were built as two separate cities, we would have said that in this case, we're going to give a karpaf to each one of the two cities, mishum d'dchika tashmishtayhu. He writes here, lefisha dochuk lahem hamokom lishtamesh bekarpaf echad. In other words, each city needs a little bit of breathing space. It's like my kids live in Modi'in. So when you get into Modi'in, there are like a lot of garden areas, you know, where you'll always see the joggers you know, on the outskirts of the city. So every city needs a little bit of breathing space outside the city limits of empty, uncultivated and unbuilt open areas, and that's called a karpa. So each one of the city has a separate city, you know, comes to the municipality demanding a karpav. We need a karpav, a migrash on the outside of the city. And therefore, each city now is granted its own karpav. It has rights to its own karpav. And now, when there's an overlap between these two karpavs, and therefore the distance between the two cities is no more than 141 and change, is then we can combine the two cities because we've given and granted a karpav of expansion for each one of the cities. Aval hacha, but in the case of Choma Sayyush and Nifritza, the lo dechikitash mishtayu, in other words, it's not dachuk for each half of the city, each part of the city, to use a, that, you know, to use one karpav, because, you know, originally there were houses in between these two cities. So they never had that need to expand into an open lot outside the bounds of the city. As Eim Alo, we would have thought that we're not going to give him any more than one karpa for these two halves of the city. Tzricha, and therefore I need Rav Huna to tell me that even in the case of one city that got split when the walls were breached, even so, if there's a connection between the two of up to 141 and a third, we're going to count it as one city. We have the Gemara's question now, Vakama Havi Ben Yeser Lekeshes. So we said that from the two extreme ends on the top of this bow, we can have up to, but not beyond our bus, Alofim Amo, Ben Shnei Rosh HaKeshes. Now we want to know, what about from the bottom of the bowl, meaning the last house on the bottom, all the way up to the top where the line crosses between the two extreme. So you're talking about a vertical line that meets up with this horizontal line. How long of a distance could that be? And here we have Machlokas, Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Alpayim Amo. In other words, you can have a distance between the Yeser and the Keshes of up to 2,000 Amo to be Mitzarev, the two ends of the Keshes, one to the other. So we have now two requirements. From one end of the Keshes to the other end of the Keshet, going horizontally, we have up to 4,000 Am of a distance. And now we're talking about between the Keshes and the Yeser, which means between the bottom of the semicircle, I mean the top part of the bottom of the semicircle, and above it the Yeser, which we said was the imaginary line going horizontal from one end of the Keshet on the top to the other end of the Keshet. And if you have those two conditions, and you're less than 4,000 Amma between the two ends, and you're less than 2,000 Amma between the bottom and the top, then you can consider that the entire Keshet is filled in. Rava Brei Derabba Barav Huna Amar, however, Afilu Yeser Me'alpayim Amma, the shear of the distance between the Keshes and the Yeser could be even more than 2,000 Amo, and you could be Mitzarev, the two Roshei HaKeshes, one to the other, if there's no 4,000 Amo between them. And Tosus says that the reason for this, and it means that Rabba, the first Deah, he required that the Yeser be within 2,000 Amo of the Keshes. He's of the opinion that you need so you need that the boundaries on both sides to overlap from both sides, whether it's the two Roshei HaKeshes, that there shouldn't be 4,000 Amma between them, or whether it's between the Yeser and the Keshes, there shouldn't be 2,000 Amma between them. Whereas Rava, who is the son of Rabba, right, Rava Breda Rabba Barav Huna, he's of the opinion that it's enough that the Tchumim Amuvloim on one side, meaning on the top, and therefore if there's less than 4,000 Amma between the two Roshei HaKeshes, that's enough to consider it muvloim zebazeh. And there's no need to add another muvla from the yeser all the way up to the keshes, or I should say all the way down to the keshes, right? So that you don't need a double muvla. And even if there's more than 2,000 amma between the yeser and the keshes, we can still fill in the halal, the empty space inside this keshes, as if it was filled up with houses. Shari yochel hu lelech mitzad litzad derech hakeshes. Since he has the ability to go from one side to the other side through this keshes, then that's fine. And Tosus adds here in the Dibra Maschil Pachos, which is back on Amud Aleph actually, that based on this svara, in a case where there's no 2,000 amot between the Esser and the Keshes, then it could be that already gets you a Muvla B'Keshes, and Rava, the second opinion, would hold that we could already judge or define the Chalal as if it's full of Batim, even if there would be more than a distance between the Rashi HaKesh to be a greater than 4,000 amot distance. The Rashba disagrees. And he holds in any event, even if there wouldn't be between the keshes and the yeser up by Imamah, you would still need that the max distance between the Rashi HaKeshes would be 4,000 amma. Otherwise, you couldn't be mitztarif the halal keshes to the shetach of the city. Omar Abaye Kavase de Rava Bre de Rava de Rava Barfuna Mistabra. He agrees with the second opinion of Rava that even if between the Keshes and the Yeser you have more than 2,000 amma, you could still be mitzarif the Rashi HaKeshes, the Iboy Hodar Osi Derech Batim. Because if he would want to, he could go to the place of the Yeser through the Batim around the Keshes, Shemisviv LaKeshes. Because, you know, he doesn't have to go directly in that straight vertical line. He can go around this way and then go across. Rashayu lelech ad rosh hakeshes ha'echor misham l'rosh hakeshes ha'sheni derech ha'yeser. And I have a diagram here where he sort of traces the way he would go. And since the tchum of the two of them are muvla zebazeh, because there's no 4,000 amma distance between that separates them, therefore we are considering the, shall we say, the length of the open space between the keshes and the yeser, that even if it's more than 2,000 amma, we can still consider it mole batim v'chatzeros. So this is what we're going to get up to for today, and let's make a note of where we're going to stop here. We're up to the two dots of Hayusham Gedudios Gevoos, which we didn't discuss the Gedudios yet. So that in Mirz Hashem we'll try to pick up in the next Shia. So we're down on Daf Nun Hamid Beis, approximately, I would say, 18 lines down from the top of the page.